morning. Welcome to Sunday School. We'll get started here in just a moment. We're excited to have for this hour, we'll have just a little different than normal. Brother Brower, our good missionary to Kenya and Tanzania, he'll be sharing with us. You also get to see an update video of an anniversary of 25 years there serving the Lord, and we're excited to have him. Many of you have met him before. I have not till just a moment ago, so I was thankful to do that and looking forward to getting to know him better as he's here throughout the day today. But we're excited about being here in Sunday School. Thank you for being here. Of course, you know that we've changed a few things as far as the way we've separated out in different things, and you pray for us as the Lord gives us wisdom. We're trusting him as he's shown us every turn what to do, and we're thankful for that, and continue to pray for wisdom that the Lord would guide us and lead us to these times that we're in. And but we're just glad to get to be together this morning, thankful that you're here, and we're going to start off with a word of prayer, and then Brother Dan's going to come lead us in a song, and then he'll introduce our missionary, Brother Brower, to you this morning. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for bringing our guests here today. Thank you for bringing the Browers, dear Lord. What a joy it is to get to be able to support them. And Lord, we're thankful that we have this blessing, and it is a blessing to get to pull our money and send to missionaries like this that are taking the gospel where we are not. And Lord, we're grateful for them being here. I pray that you'd bless them, give them a wonderful time together with us, and then bless this hour. And then, Lord, as we transition from here to the 11 o'clock service, I pray that you'd bless them as well. Lord, we'll give you glory for all that goes on. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's just something about that name, is there not? Sing with me. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after says that if we lift him up, he will draw all men unto him. And that's what we want to be about. We're so thankful this morning, Brother Bill, you can come on forward. And Brother Bill and Miss Tammy are here. How many know them already? You've met them, you've seen them, you've heard them. We've only got about three or four. So you got a new crowd to speak to. That means you can act any way you want. They don't know anything from the past. So no, it is good to have them. How long have you been on the mission field?
Since 1993.
Brother Bill, thank you so much for being with us. Amen.
Way to be back at the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You did a tremendous job on remodeling. Had I not been here previously, I probably may have thought I was in the wrong church. Beautiful, tremendous, and what a blessing. We appreciate your faithful support over these many years. You've supported us from just about the beginning, and we deeply appreciate your faithful support. It takes a massive team effort to do worldwide evangelism. It's not like Bill and Tammy Brower decided one day that we were going to go to Africa and we bought some plane tickets and we went. There's really a massive team that's involved in reaching Kenya and Tanzania. We have a wonderful sending church just right up the road from you folks in Greenville, Tennessee, Central Baptist Church. They have been behind us all these years. And then we have so many churches like your church that have partnered with our sending church in getting us to the field and in staying on the field. And we just want to let you know that we deeply appreciate that. When the Kenyans and Tanzanians, when they find out that we're coming back to the States, for a time to report to our churches that support us. They know how the system works now, that we're on the field for several years and then we come here for several months to report. And they always want us to convey to our supporters how deeply they appreciate you sending the gospel to them. They're still amazed that there are thousands of churches in America that have never met them face-to-face and will probably never meet them face-to-face before heaven, and you would sacrificially give to send them the gospel message. And so on behalf of them, I would like to convey their gratitude for your sacrifice in sending missionaries to their villages, to their cities, bringing them the gospel message. Purely, 100% by the grace of God, last year we celebrated 25 years on the field of Kenya and Tanzania. And so we made a special video to show our supporters. A Kenyan brother in Christ is interviewing us, and we're kind of reflecting back over the 25 years. And since you folks have supported us all of these years, we trust that this video will be a blessing. You're going to see a lot of African faces, and you don't know these people and probably will never get to meet them until heaven. But we know these people. We know their names. We know their testimonies. We know how the gospel has completely transformed their lives, their families, their villages. And so we trust that this video will be a blessing.
We started this journey in 1993, actually, when we were approved as missionaries with our mission. Being away from our own country, from our own language, from our own culture, the Lord really used it to point out some things in my heart that I didn't know were there. And we've said so many times to each other that we thought that we came to Africa to do a great work for God, but God really brought us here so that He could do a great work in our own hearts. And the African people have taught us so much. Their lives are much more difficult than people in the West. They have many more inconveniences. Life is much more of a struggle. And so the Kenyan and Tanzanian people, they taught us in a great way how to be patient, how to be kind. They're just the most hospitable people that we've ever been around. They would instantly invite you into their home and treat you like you were a long-time friend or a relative. And so we have learned just some valuable lessons over the 25 years that we've been here.
You learn perspective. That you can complain about various things, but then when the woman who comes to visit you just spent 3 hours walking in the heat of the day, only to go home and have to fetch water at 4 a.m. the next morning, just helps you have a little bit more perspective. I think that was partly what we learned, too. I remember it was our first year in Tanzania, and the power was out 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, sometimes more. It was difficult. We had an electric stove, so it was difficult to cook for my family. We were homeschooling. Our children did, some of them did their school online, or at least on the computer, and it made it very difficult. And I remember when Pastor Petro just laughed at us, and he said, "Come to the village. We don't think about the power going out." Because they didn't have power. And the perspective wasn't to feel sorry for him. The perspective was, is this absolutely necessary to glorify God?
We arrived in Kenya in 1995, and we immediately went to language school for 6 we met Peter Chegadeer, and he was just a young man. He was unmarried, but he had recently been saved and had a real zeal for the Lord, and our hearts just really connected with him. And so when we went to Nakuru to start our first church in 1997, he was with us, and he played a huge part in helping us with that church plan. And that's been 23 years ago since we started that church, and Peter is still a close friend of ours, and now he is married and has grown children and is still preaching the gospel and pastoring, and we just praise the Lord for those relations.
Well, Pastor Bill Blau has been one of my greatest mentors and a friend of a lifetime. As I related to you, we've known each other since 1984, so it's been many years, 26 years or so. And he's poured his life out to me. I remember those first years when he came. He taught in our Bible Institute. He taught us through many classes and helped us to graduate with a general Bible diploma. And the things that he taught me have deeply impacted my ministry. Looking back, working in Nakuru, I can say that's where I cut my teeth in ministry. He allowed me opportunities to preach, to teach, to help start churches. So the impact that he's had on my life is immeasurable. I can really not measure. And the things that he has taught me, in return, I took them. And even today, that's why I'm here.
Thank you. how committed they are in empowering their locals, Kenyans themselves, to take the lead in the ministries that are needed here. So whilst usually you'll be used to missionaries coming and them taking the lead, and never having a vision for the locals actually leading the ministry, that has not been the case with them. From the onset, they have been clear that they would like to train and equip and empower their fellow believers among them here, so that they could take the lead role in these ministries.
Together, and
Even after a three-hour service, they all sat on the cement floor of the church and listened to the Bible.
So that's how they did their Bible reading since they were 11.
The hardest year for us in ministry, the year when the lights went out.
the darkest of layers, the deepest of the valleys for us. And what I really again I knew about me and Tammy became really evident when things got super hard. They were there with us, working together with us. In many ways, the place where we are at right now, a place where I feel like I'm in the best place I've ever been in as far as ministry goes. And my wife and I were still in the best place we've ever been in our marriage. A lot of that is the credit of the ministry that God has accomplished in our lives through this couple.
The end result of missions is Revelation chapter 5, where we get a glimpse of what it's going to be like one day from the people from every tribe, every nation, every language group will be gathered around the throne of God, worshiping God the Father and the Lamb who was sent to save us from our sins. And that's what this is all about. And so thank you, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, for the part that you've had in reaching people in Kenya and Tanzania with the gospel. The gospel is spreading very quickly in sub-Saharan Africa, and we are honored and humbled to be a part of what God is doing. And God has raised up some gifted young men that we've had the privilege of working with, and some of them are not young any longer. And so the remaining years that we have on the field, that's what we feel led of the Lord to do, is to pour our lives into Tanzanians, into Kenyans, church planters, the students that I have at the Bible college that I teach at. I have about 35 to 40 students in each one of my classes, and almost all of them are young Kenyan men that are training for the ministry. And so if the Lord tarries, I know that God's going to use many of these young men in a great way. And we just appreciate the part that you've had in reaching these people. Just for the next few moments, I would like to take what my wife said in the last part of the video and just give a brief challenge. And what she said in the last part of the video is something that we have challenged each other about. I hope those of you that are married, I hope you preach to each other, because my wife and I preach to each other all the time. That's how we've stayed on the mission field. When I've been down, my wife's been there to remind me of Scripture, to remind me of truth. When she's down, by the Lord's grace, I hope I've been there for her And we do have one life to live, and we've reminded each other of that because we do miss our kids. We do miss our grandkids. There are sacrifices that are made to be there, but we try to remind each other that we have one life to live, and that's all we're getting. I'm not getting a second chance. You're not getting a second chance. And as you consider your future and how you will spend the one life given to you by your Creator, please consider these unchanging truths. First of all, our lives are brief and tomorrow is not guaranteed. Around 170,000 people around the world die every single day. Now, for many of these people, they had terminal illnesses. They may have known that they were dying, but for thousands, tens of thousands of others, they woke up this morning not knowing that today will be their last day on the face of the earth. Our lives are brief, and tomorrow is not guaranteed. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." That's how God describes our lives. They're like a puff of smoke that appears for a very brief period of time and then just as quickly passes away. And tomorrow's not guaranteed. I remember I was a youth pastor at our home church here in Greenville, Tennessee. And I remember going to graduations every year at South Green High School, Greenville High School, West Green High School. And it seemed like, as far as I can remember, every single year I went to a high school graduation, there was always an empty seat or several empty seats of high school students that didn't make it to their graduation. Our lives are brief, and tomorrow is not guaranteed. For the believer in Christ, his life is not his own to decide what he will do with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I hear young people, young married couples, other people talking about their future, about their lives, as if their life is their own. I hear young people talking about, "I would really like to work with computers," or, "I really love to work on cars or do construction work." But if they are a believer in Jesus Christ, they don't have the right to decide what they do with their lives. Their lives have been bought with a price, and the highest price possible, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is it wrong to be an auto mechanic or a construction worker or to work on computers? Absolutely not. But that'll be God's decision. We have been bought with a price. Do you know unsaved people can work on computers? Do you know unbelievers can do construction work and work on cars? But only believers know the gospel. And your life is not your own. So what should the believer do with his life if it's not his own? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Have you done that? Have you presented your life, which is not your own, since you have been bought with a price? Have you laid down your life at God's altar for Him to decide what you do with the one life that He has granted to you? And it's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable for you to lay down your life at God's altar since Jesus laid down his life for you. So that's the first truth to consider. Our lives are brief and tomorrow's not guaranteed. Secondly, all of us are heading toward an appointment with Almighty God. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. For unbelievers, this will be at the great white throne judgment. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And Revelation 20:15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is a horrifying passage of Scripture. And that's where unbelievers are headed. Even believers are heading toward an appointment with Almighty God. Believers will not be at the great white throne judgment. We have no sins to be judged for. Our sins have already been judged. Jesus has already taken our judgment. But now believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give a personal account of what you have done with your life since you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. All of us are heading toward an appointment with Almighty God. Number three, what you do in this life determines your existence in the next life. I know I do it. We all do it. We forget that real life is coming, a life that will never end. Do you know we are human beings? Do you know that when God breathed into us the breath of life, we all became living souls and we will exist forever? There will never be a time when any human will cease to exist. And what you do in this brief life that God has given to you determines your existence in the next life. Do you know there's going to be a millennial kingdom? Do you know there's going to be a new Jerusalem? Jesus talks in Luke chapter 19. He tells a parable about someone that had been faithful in a very little, and he'll have authority over 10 cities. And he's been faithful with the 5 talents he's been given, so he'll be over 5 cities. Do we not realize that there is an eternal life coming? And what you do in this life determines your existence in the next life. And so based upon these unchanging truths, how should you live your one life? I love what Paul says in Acts chapter 20. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. How would you like to receive that call? Paul, I want you to go to Jerusalem. You're going to be arrested. You're going to be put in prison. You're going to be persecuted. But I love Paul's attitude. What an encouragement. Paul says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul puts it this way in Philippians chapter 3, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'll leave you with this one thought. 100 years from today. Today's August 29th, 2021. If the Lord tarries, August 29th of 2121, none of us will be here. But that doesn't mean we're going to cease to exist. Now, we'll be existing. And 100 years from today, what will really matter? What kind of house you lived in? How much money you had in the bank? What kind of car you drove? 100 years from today, only one thing's going to matter: what you did for Christ. Our Father, we just pray that you would encourage us and stir our hearts, knowing that there are still villages, people around the world that have never heard the gospel. Stir our hearts to do what you have called us to do, to reach these people for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. How many were blessed this morning by what we heard and saw?
Bible says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Thank you, Brother Bill and Miss Tammy, for being here with us. And thank you for allowing us to support you. And thank you for allowing us that opportunity. This is what missions is all about. He said it right. And one thing that we need to consider, today is the end of our missions month, and we'll be collecting our Faith Promise Grace Giving cards. And the question that we need to be asking ourselves before God, not before anyone else, have I done what God has asked me to do? Have I done what God has asked? You say, well, Brother Dan, God doesn't speak audibly anymore. The Holy Spirit of God in your heart will let you know. If you will ask, Lord, show me. Lord, show me. Are we doing what God is asking us to do? Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And yes, 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 yes. Amen. You're dismissed.